Hi, you guys. I'm Ange.
And I'm Mari.
And this is Girls Gone Bible. We're a faith-based podcast where we talk all things spirituality, Jesus, God, the Bible. We invite everybody here, come as you are, just don't leave that way.
Then this is a safe place, you guys. You can feel safe with us.
So before we start today's episode, we have to re-announce something. Let's remind you guys that May 15th is our first ever live show of the GGB tour. We're going to be in Atlanta, Georgia at the Center Stage Theater. We're going to put it in the description. You guys, get tickets. We can't wait to see you guys. We can't believe that the time has finally come for us to be with you guys in person. 2 hours of just us and you. We're supposed to be on the stage. We'll probably be in the audience with you, knowing us.
It's one thing to sit up here and talk to you guys through a camera, but it's going to be another thing to really be with you guys in person and connect with you guys and hug you guys and worship with you guys and just share our hearts with you guys. I mean, we meet you guys sometimes when we're out, and it's truly the greatest blessing of our lives. And you and I were driving the other day talking. We just both looked at each other and we were like, we truly have the best family. Like, you guys are the best. Your comments to us, if you only knew what they mean to us, every one of you guys is so encouraging.
Yeah.
I was talking to my mom the other day, and she's like, do you get any hate or backlash? And I was like, honestly, no.
Yeah.
Everyone is so uplifting, so encouraging. You guys give me the strength. You give us the strength and just the peace to keep on doing this. So we thank you. We see all the comments, and we love you guys so much.
I literally was on the phone with Ari yesterday night, and we do this all the time. I just go, God, I love GGB gang. And I was like, I know. And we say it all the time. And you know, it's funny, you know, when we had Shauna and George on, Shauna had called me afterwards, after our episode with them released. And she was like, I just want to let you know, your guys' audience is so nice. I know. And I was like, I know. It's incredible. And she's like, no, I've never seen anything like this. They're on YouTube, you know what I mean? And they see everything. And they're like, I've never seen an audience who is just so uplifting and encouraging. And she's like, you guys don't get any hate.
Because the people that watch us are truly filled with God. They truly are God's people. And I see it. I see you guys. I hear you guys. You guys truly are all chasing Jesus, and we are just so proud of you. You guys are just so, so good, so pure in the heart, and we're very, very thankful. There's a couple things I wanted to mention. I was at church we go to Vintage Church in Santa Monica. I know a lot of you guys hear about the churches we go to, and you know, it's. I'm glad that I see some of you guys there, and because you guys are wondering what church should we go to. But while I was listening in Vintage, they were saying, you know, they have a Stick Six, and they have so many community groups. And I know that you guys are really, some of you guys are in an isolation season and really looking for community. And I really want to encourage you guys to join some of these communities, because there are just so many good, godly people that need each other. And I just remember going to church and just not knowing what I was doing, but having that community to really pray for me and be there for me. And it's just, we need godly friends. And so anyone who's just wondering, well, where do I find a friend? It's at church. They have so many community groups. Mosaic has them. Vintage Church in Santa Monica has them. So I don't know if you're in LA, and even if you're not in LA, find a community group in your church. And how are you guys doing? I know that we were been praying for you, a lot of your prayer requests. I know that some of you guys have been going through a really rough time. And so, you know, I'd love to hear how you guys are doing. Keep on putting your prayer requests in the message box, and we will keep continuing to pray for you.
Amen. Amen. I love that you said that about the community groups. There are so many resources for people to find community. And so no matter where you live, whether it's in LA or not, whatever church is near you, you can go to different churches, see which one is the best fit for you, and then plant yourself and then find community there.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say something else too. And tell me what you think about this. So last week we did an episode on purity, and that was a absolute, it was a hit, like, you know, YouTube wise and all that. And we knew that it would be. We knew that people really want to hear about this topic. And we know that people, a lot of the time, shy away from it. And it is hard to talk about. And I just really want to say, though, because Ari and I have been talking about it, we want to be very clear that while we were nervous last episode, and we were, because it's awkward, you're talking about intimacy, you're talking about your past, like it's awkward, and we were nervous, but we're not ashamed. We want to make it very clear that while we were nervous, it's not because we're ashamed, it's just awkward to talk about on a public platform. But Ari and I believe every promise in the Bible, that we are made new, that we are a new creation in Christ, that God doesn't remember our sins anymore, and the old has gone and the new has come. And so we just want to be very clear so that you guys know as well, for you to not have any shame, because when you're new in Jesus, you're made new in Jesus. So I just want to make sure that nobody got that confused, because we're not ashamed.
Yeah, and also, we were really nervous to put that out. I mean, if you knew the spiritual warfare I especially had, I mean, I had a moment of just like a little bit of a breakdown, because it's vulnerable when you're talking about, you know, your past and sexual immorality. It's really vulnerable. So I also want to thank you, because you guys were so sweet in the comments. Yeah. And I mean, thank you. I didn't know that you guys, that we would get such sweet comments the way we did.
I actually can't. I mean, it's almost, I mean, not one person had anything negative to say. And it was me. First of all, it's really kind of all of you. Maybe it's also God protecting us, because he's like, they will just break at any, you know what I mean? But, you know, there's something, I'll wait to talk about it, because it has to do with our story today that I want to talk about, but I'll wait. Is there anything new that's been going on? I love you so much.
I love you too.
Can I just start with saying that?
I love you too.
Our life lately has been so insane and just so fun.
Tell the people. What? Anything crazy we had to?
I don't know. Have we?
Angela's had to get me through a couple of panic attacks. Oh, I have a funny story. I developed a new habit. I am starting to sleepwalk. No. Have you guys ever seen the movie Step Brothers when he starts, like, what did he do? He started, like, going in the kitchen, banging his brother over the head with a pot. Like, that's literally me with Angela. I don't know what's going on. I am sleepwalking. She comes over my house. There's a code to get into my door. And she couldn't get the code. It wouldn't happen. So I'm in a dead sleep. I don't remember anything. I walk and open the door in my sleep.
And she opens the door. So Ari's been having this thing where she's not fully waking up out of her sleep. And then so she's like, she's like sleeping but talking. And she says the same thing every time.
I'm like I revert back to a little girl. She's like my mom. It's serious. I need to grow up.
No. It's Please. The cutest thing. It is truly the cutest thing in the world. I'm telling you. I'll never forget the first time it happened. You woke. I think we were in New York and you had already gone to sleep, and I was on my phone or something, and I think I accidentally woke you up, and you look at me and you go, and I thought you were gonna tell me to be quiet because I was like rustling around and being loud, and you literally go, what did you say?
Oh,
what did
I'll you tell say you what did said. You
say? She looks at me and goes, will you hold me? And I go, of course I'll hold you. And so, and recently
it was like her niece.
I know. I was rubbing her head.
She's holding me like I'm a little girl. I'm a grown woman. I act like she's my mom sometimes, you guys. Honestly, I'm going to get a lot of backlash. Everyone says, you rely on Angela.
No. It's okay. The cutest thing in the world. It's literally so cute. And it's just so funny. And there's nothing funnier than when you snap out of it, because then you go, whoa, what was that? But what about recently? I have been... Okay, so we just did an episode with Stephanie Ike, and I'm not sure when that will be coming out, but it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us, literally. You guys have no idea. And in the middle of it, and she's extremely prophetic, and like it's very clear that she knows God and she hears God. And she told Ari and I, like, just letting you guys know, you have to be very careful, because you will have attacks against your friendship. Like, the enemy would want nothing more than to tear this thing apart, because one, you stop doing what you're doing, and two, it's a disappointment for all the people looking at this godly friendship. It's like when the enemy will attack marriage, because that's the picture of Christ with his bride. And for us, like, we are that example of a godly friendship. And Ari and I, it's so funny, recently I've been like so sensitive and so just like, everything's okay, right? You still love me, right?
We are literally in a domestic partnership. We are learning so much in this friendship, so much that I know exactly what God's doing. He's literally preparing us for our husbands. It's the most beautiful relationship I've ever had.
It's honestly the most beautiful relationship I've ever had. And it just makes me be like, I don't know, just recently I just have, because I know, I'm just so aware of what we have and how important it is and how special and sacred it is, that I will fight for it till the day that I die. Like, I will fight for, I just love you so much.
I love you too, 'kay? Mommy.
Okay, mommy. Well, let's get into sin. God, I want to tell the story about the cigarettes so badly.
Oh, you have to.
Maybe later.
All right, because that was a sin. Is smoking obvious? Yeah. Smoking cigarettes is a sin, right?
Well, it's like everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial.
Oh my gosh, my dad's sinning every minute of the day then.
Your dad? My dad too. My brothers. God bless them. Keep them in your prayers, guys. Okay.
We need a little prayer too.
So today we're talking about sin, and we're gonna read the story from Genesis 3, where it's the first moment that sin entered the world. And I've probably read Genesis 3 over 300 times, because I constantly say that I'm gonna read Genesis from Genesis to Revelation, read the whole Bible through, and then I'll always get to like chapter 15 and stop. So I keep like restarting it.
Why is that?
I don't know, but now I've started it again, and I'm almost done with Genesis, and I'm going all the way through the whole Bible.
And a great point that Angela had made to me the other day is, she said, I'm reading from Genesis, and right after I read the story, I watch...
Right after I read the chapter, I'll listen to commentary about it. So it'll really solidify... You know what I've actually been doing? I've been reading 2 chapters a day, and then... After I read the chapters, I'll watch commentary. So I'll just look up a video, listen to a theologian explain it, and just like kind of go in depth on what the chapter is all about. And then while I'm getting ready for the day, I'll re-listen. I'll open the Bible app and I'll re-listen to the chapter from beginning to end for as long as I'm getting ready. I know that's a little bit excessive, but I just really like want to ingrain it as much as I can.
It's the best thing to do. I'm a very visual person, so I have to watch a video after I read. And probably a lot of you are like that.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. The point is that we're trying to make is that GGB Gang is so good in the faith. You guys are so mature in the faith that I think it's time to not only just read the Bible, but to learn the Bible, to like really get it in your heart, so that, you know, if you ever need it, just like you'll see today that it's really important to know the Bible, you can have that ingrained in you. So Genesis chapter 3, we'll be reading out of the NLT version.
The man and woman sin. The serpent was the shrewdest of the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat." God said, "You must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil."
The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. So you guys, this is the moment that sin entered the world. This is the first time that man ever disobeyed God. And I just think that it's so funny the way that the enemy's number one thing that he wants is for us to doubt God. He plants seeds of doubt. And I'm sure you've heard this if you've been a Christian for a while, but the enemy always tells partial truths. Mm-hmm. He'll have a little bit of truth and then a lie. So he that's his bait, like the little bit of truth. And can I just tell a quick story really quick? Yeah. You and I, since the purity episode, and I'm just going to be completely honest with everybody, thank God we have each other, and thank God you have godly counsel, and that's why you need godly friends to talk you out of things, to expose the lies that you're believing. Because the purity episode was... it was a lot to record, and then it was a lot to put out, and then it's a lot to cut our own clips and post them at the same, all at the same time. And we've had moments where we would call each other, and we've both thought the same thing, but at different times, where we've called each other and been like, God, are we taking it too far? Oh, yeah. Do we sound a little crazy? Is this like, maybe we're doing too much? Are we saying too much? Like, why do we got to take it that far? Why are we, you know what I mean? And if you, I'll have these thoughts, but then when I hear you say it, I'm like, no. We're speaking the truth no matter what anybody thinks. And it's the same way when I say that to you, you're like, no, we're not taking it too far. Mm-hmm. And so this is just so funny how the devil from the very beginning has been doing that, because it's true that God does know that the eyes will be open as they eat it, and that they will be like God, knowing both good and evil.
Yep.
So that is a little bit of truth, but the lie, the doubt, he's saying, did God really say that? So every time that you get those thoughts of temptation or wanting to sin, and it's like, but did God really say that that's a bad thing? But did God really say that he'll provide for you? But did he really say that he'll never leave you or forsake you? Like, that you have to understand that he's been doing it from the beginning of time.
Oh, he does it all the time. We're always going to be tempted. What I really saw was when it said the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and the fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. Mm. God said, don't eat it, you will die. And she saw good things in the very thing that God said that would kill her. Mm. And how many times do we do that in our own lives? We know it's not good for us. It's very clear what it says in the Bible. But we live in a society today that... it's like, do what feels good.
Yeah.
Do whatever makes you feel good. Do you, like I said in a couple episodes ago. And so, and that's just not how we're supposed to live. Mm. And it may feel good, but what if it grieves God? Mm. It feels good to you, but it doesn't feel good to God. And it may feel good in the minute, but it just leads to death.
Amen. It's so true. You know, what I really, really makes me sad about this situation is that before chapter 3 even starts, it says that the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Mm-hmm. And the second that they sinned, shame entered, and they realized they were naked. They had to clothe themselves with the fig leaves. And it's just like, I know for me, like, sin always leads to shame among many other things. But the shame is what really puts such a barrier between you and God. And so I love what you said, just because something feels good does not mean... like, if God says that it's bad, he says it for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked."
Mm.
"Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree? Those fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed. More than all animals, domestic and wild, you will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." When God had said to the man, because when they saw God walking, they hid. And so God said, "Where are you?" Mm. Obviously, God knows where they were. You can't hide from God, right? But when he said that, he was looking for the man to repent, to turn to him. We aren't supposed to run from God when we do wrong. We run to him.
Yeah.
And that's the whole that's the whole point of repentance, is we don't need to be in shame and run. We need to run to him and get on our knees and say, I am sorry, and own up to what we did. And that's where the freedom comes. That's when you are free. If not, if you're just... The truth will always set you free. You can't run from God, and he knows everything. He is sovereign, and he is all-knowing, so the truth will always come to light. And so you can be in shame, but that's not going to set you free. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is running to him and turning to him and saying, I am sorry. I repent, Lord. Forgive me.
He was looking for a confession in that moment.
Yeah.
You said it perfectly. In moments that you fall, run to God. But again, that shame will stop you. That's why it says in Scripture, come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
That you may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Mm-hmm. And this moment where he says, it was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it. And I think about the Scripture that says bad company corrupts good character, and sin is almost infecting, like it's infectious, like you sin, I sin, we sin. And that's why you have to be so incredibly careful who you have around. And you said it last episode where you were like, nobody is exempt from falling. And absolutely. So don't ever think that you're so strong, and who you hang out with really does matter. And this area right here where he's talking about, because you have done this, you are cursed. You will have hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. I heard a theologian explain this as kind of being like, you see in the New Testament how Jesus actually says to like the Pharisees in the government, he says, your father is the father of the devil. And Jesus's father is our father, God. And so it's kind of like we're Jesus's kids, and then there's the world and his kids. So it's why Jesus says that the world will hate you. And so that's why there's always hostility between us believers and the world.
Oh, that's good.
There's always going to be that hostility. And then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. I will never forget the first time I ever read this. So God is saying this. He's basically, it's not necessarily that God is cursing them because of their mistake. This is the curse is a consequence of their sin. God is faithful and just to forgive our sins, is what he says in Scripture. But again, there is always consequences, and this curse comes as a consequence. You will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. This is the moment where conflict and competition came between the man and the woman. And I really believe that this is the root of the issues with submission and leadership. It says that the woman is going to desire to control her husband, but he will rule over her. So there's always this fight for leadership. And that's why the world that we're living in today, how men want to do what women do and women want to do what men do. And there's just so much competition, and modern day feminism really pits men and women against each other. So we don't have that like harmonious flow that we should between men and women, especially in marriage.
Yeah. And to the man, he says, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree, whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow, you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. From you were made from dust, and dust will return. Angela had a revelation while we were reading this, and I loved it.
You're so cute. When it says that the ground is cursed because of you, God created the earth to produce harvest forever. And he created it so that we would never lack, that we would always have more than what we need. And it would be just like truly, like I said earlier, like harmonious the way that the harvest would come out. And then it says that the ground is cursed because of you. All your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. So instead of the harvest and the fruits and the trees and the vegetables and everything being produced easily and seamlessly the way that God intended, now man would have to work to even scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles, which it was never meant to. And by the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat. So you sweat and you work and it's sweat, blood, and tears just trying to even put food on the table. I don't think with all the poverty in the world and all the hunger in the world, I really doubt that that's what God ever intended for us.
I agree.
The ground was supposed to work for us, not us trying to work the ground.
I'm sitting there being like, why did you have to eat out that apple?
I know.
I could have been living in bliss.
We would have been living.
I could have been in the fields with my dog, no cancer. He would have been, oh, man.
You know what, though? If it wasn't Adam and Eve, it would have been Abraham, or it would have been Jacob or Isaac, or probably us. That's by the true. Time it got to us. And honestly, you know?
I remember when I said to you after, I said, you know, man, imagine living in bliss. But then I said, but then again, I appreciate every single struggle I've had in my life because it keeps me so close to God.
Yeah.
The truth is, guys, is there's so much perversion in the world, and that's why we have to just stay close to the Word of God.
100%. I mean, literally, this is deception is what Satan has done since the very beginning is he's deceived us. And honestly, we can talk smack about Eve as much as we want, but how often do we get deceived?
That's what I mean.
It's just right under our nose, and you think you're so much better than for that to happen.
You see them nice fruits.
Paradise lost, God's judgment. Then the man Adam named his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. I just love this so much that God, even after, it's the first time that man ever betrayed God. And while they received a curse because that's the consequence of their actions, God's grace still prevailed and he took care of them even in the midst of their shame and their suffering and their struggle. The Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. Oh, I love that so much. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Can I just say that? I remember when I was, before I really fully went all in 100% with God, I was just like most other lukewarm Christians. I thought that God just withheld so much goodness. I was like, why is he taking away the best parts of life, like the ones that feel the best and look the best? And it's just like, it reminds me of in this story, is like he's telling you not to do one thing, and then there's all this goodness in the world, but you just want to go for the one forbidden thing. You're acting like we act, and that's how we are when we're like, oh, why doesn't God let us do this thing or do that thing? It's like there's so much more we could be doing.
I know.
We're so hyper-focused on this one thing that we're not allowed to do when there's so much good in the world that we could be focusing on.
I know.
You know?
I know.
You guys, I feel like my Instagram feed is truly filled with customizable beauty. Like, I want to customize the shampoo and conditioner for my dry hair and damaged ends, but there's no guarantee that it'll work. But when Pros says custom, they actually mean it. You guys, it isn't a scam. Your formula couldn't exist without you. Each and every bottle of Pros Custom Hair and Skincare is made to order and personalized with a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs. Their in-depth consultation analyzes over 80 factors for a complete view of your life and beauty goals, and they get personal. Pros covers everything from your concerns to diet, exercise, and stress levels to uncover what's impacting your hair and skin health. They even asked me about my zip code to understand how the water and seasonal changes would affect me. Next, they recommend a full routine of truly personalized products, which were only produced after I placed my order. Nothing pre-mixed, nothing off the shelf. And I know from experience that one-of-a-kind formulas equal one-in-a-million results. Since I switched to Pros, I've noticed that my hair is so much softer and more hydrated. My blonde is brighter as well. But don't just take my word for it. In a third-party, double-blind, dermatologist-supervised, controlled clinical study, aka the gold standard in research studies, Pros prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives. Try it for yourself and get your healthiest hair in 30 days or your money back. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/GGB. That's PROSE.com/GGB for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formula. Pros.com/GGB.
Well, why don't we talk about, you know, ways to defeat it, defeat that thing. Or do you have any stories?
I really encourage you guys, if you're in a moment of having fallen or having done something and you want to repent, I mean, Psalm 54 will bring you to your knees. Mm-hmm. And it was just really beautiful. There's a scripture for everything. I think we can talk about how to overcome sin, I think we need to know what sin is and how the enemy will tempt us with it. Mm-hmm. And so there's something called the elements of temptation of sin. Sin falls into these three categories. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says that for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So the lust of the flesh is the desire to satisfy your physical needs. The lust of the eyes is the desire to possess things that are visually appealing, material things, worldly things, like whatever you can see and you want to acquire, that's lust of the eyes. Mm-hmm. And then the pride of life is anything that leads to arrogance, pride, or self-exaltation. So every single sin is derived from these three categories. So when we read about Eve and the moment in which she fell, the enemy tempted her with three different things. Lust of the flesh, he said, this is good for food. This tree is going to be good for food. So he appealed to her fleshly, physical desires to be satisfied. Mm-hmm. And then for lust of the eyes, he said, this tree, this fruit, it's a delight to the eyes. He appealed to her eyes and the lust of the eyes. And then he finished it with saying that this tree would make you wise, the pride of life, worldly wisdom, worldly knowledge, self-exaltation. It's prideful to want to obtain knowledge and wisdom from the world and not that from God. Mm-hmm. And it's just so funny how the enemy works, because he did the same thing with Jesus. Three times he tempted Jesus. He tempted him with the lust of the flesh. He said, command that these stones be turned to bread, because Jesus was 40 days, 40 nights fasting, very hungry. He then appealed to the lust of the eyes. He says that if you bow down and worship me, says Satan, all the kingdoms of the earth will be yours. And obviously you can tempt Jesus, but it doesn't work. And then lastly, he dared him to throw himself off the roof of the temple to show everybody and to save himself, to prove everybody that he is the Messiah, but doing it out of God's will. Mm-hmm. And it says in scripture that Jesus, we don't have a high priest that cannot sympathize. In every way that we are, Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. Jesus resisted the devil and he fought him with scripture. That is how you overcome sin.
And I will say, sin can control you, and it controlled me for many years. You cannot defeat sin without the power of Jesus Christ.
No.
So yeah.
You absolutely can't. You absolutely can't. It's only through relationship with the Holy Spirit that you're. And honestly, I've heard different theologians say things like, don't even try to overcome sin. Don't even try. Like, you have to resist Satan. Yeah. You can't overcome it by yourself, because your flesh will always win. But if you let the Holy Spirit work in you to get you away from that sin, to empower you to flee from that sin, that's the only way to do it. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to also understand that, like, being a human being with flesh and being in the world, you will have temptation. You're supposed to have a wrestle with sin. Like, if you're wrestling with sin, I want you to understand that's actually kind of a good thing, because if you had no wrestle with sin, I would argue that you're probably giving in to every sinful temptation. Mm-hmm. I wrestle with sin every single day of my life. No matter how close I am to Jesus, I'm wrestling with it. And it's a daily battle. Before I was close to Jesus, before I was conscious at all of Jesus and conviction and sin, I was able to sin with subconsciously I was dealing with things. I had no idea what the root of it was. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have conviction, and that's really bad. If you have conviction, if you're wrestling with sin, that's a beautiful thing. It means that the Holy Spirit is at work in you, not letting you fall prey to these things.
We are going to be tempted every single day. The thing is we are living in what's that movie called?
Which one?
Babylon. We're literally living in those days. I feel like I'm in a Babylon movie living in LA. I'm not even kidding. Every day, everything I watch, everything I listen to, everywhere I look, it's always temptation. It's sinful billboards everywhere I look. Yeah. That's why we have to be so rooted in the Word of God. If you're rooted in the Word of God and you're in deep prayer every day, and you're just in constant relationship and constant talks with Jesus every single day, there is no way that's why scripture says, I am the bread of life. Mm. He says that so many times in the Bible, I am the bread of life. The bread of life means he will fill you up so you will no longer have those desires anymore. When you are filled up with the power of Jesus, he changes your appetite. I didn't believe everything in the Bible when I first started my walk. And one of the main things why people don't follow God is it's because they think it's an unbelief. Anything that you're still doing, it's because you're doubting God. It says in John 16, verse 9, the Holy Spirit will show that the world's sin is unbelief in me.
Mm.
So
absolutely, I've always said that the root of sin is unbelief.
Yeah,
it's because you don't believe God. It's because you don't believe God, because when you have that true revelation of God and his word and his command and what he says about a certain thing, I mean, it's almost, I almost feel like you have to completely disassociate to be able to continue sinning in that, because it's painful. If you really love God, if you really know God and you're close to him and you're in prayer and you know the truth about a sin and you continue in it. However, I want to be sensitive to the fact that there are such things as strongholds, and we need to do a whole episode on strongholds. And I have had certain strongholds on my life that I knew better about a sin, but it's as if I was a slave to sin. So it says in scripture that you are a slave to sin. If you commit sin, it says that sin is crouching at the door, waiting to control you. That's why you must subdue it and become its master. Mm-hmm. Either sin is controlling you or you're controlling mm-hmm. sin. Mm-hmm. Either you're controlling your flesh or you are literally at your flesh's mercy. Mm-hmm. And the way to overcome your flesh is to get as ridiculously close to Jesus as humanly possible. And how you do that, just like Ari said, you stay rooted in the word. You literally have the renewal of your mind begin. You read scripture, you fill your mind with scripture, you spend your days being in constant communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we can overcome these things. And the more that you love Jesus, the more you hate the things that break his heart.
When I get up in the morning and I'm in my routine, I get down, today, for instance, I spent an hour just in prayer, just talking to him. And then I really took time and I read the Bible. And then I put on my worship and my headphones and I took a nice walk. And you should have seen me. I was on a holy high.
Yeah.
I just felt good. And that's relationship with Jesus. They're like, well, what is relationship with Jesus? That's it. Spending time with him.
Time.
Close quality time with him. Mm-hmm. Do you see this life and this darkness that we're living in?
I know.
We need to stay as close to him as possible at all times, and that's how you do it.
Yeah.
You're rooted in him in constant communication and constantly in the word.
You have to remember that Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. My spirit doesn't want to sin. My spirit loves Jesus so much that I don't want to ever sin ever again. I don't want to take one step away from him. but my flesh is weak. Mm. It's just the matter of the fact. Sometimes I submit to it. There are even external factors which cause your flesh to be even more weak. Mm-hmm. When you're tired, when you're hungry, watch and pray. Be vigilant in being aware of yourself, where you're at. Am I more susceptible to falling into temptation right now? I mean, we are 24 hours a day on watch of like, how am I feeling? What am I doing? I know that the enemy is after me, especially being in a position of leadership now. We know that the enemy is going to get even slimier, even sneakier. So we have every wall up, making sure that we don't let anything in.
I wanted to tell a story, and it goes with, we have to change the way we think, and that changes the way we act. We really have to change our thoughts. I had been, this is a story that I'll never forget. Angela had been watching me just really, really not good. And I was just probably the worst version of myself that I could have been, super broken, no self-worth, just really dead in my eyes. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I had been, this is when I first started my journey with Jesus, and she was helping me, and I looked at her and I said, am I ever going to come out of this? And she said, you know, I just had a vision. She goes, it's a summer day, you're in a long dress and you're in the kitchen, and you just look so beautiful. And I'm not talking about on the outside. You are strong and God's love is pouring out of you, and you are so confident and you are so bold, and you just have the biggest smile on your face, and you're a woman. You're a bold, strong woman. And so anytime I have those feelings, I think about that girl in the long dress on a summer day and just God's love just pouring out of me. And I have joy in me and I have God's love in me. And I think about that. And so I try to replicate that girl that Angela said that I was going to be. And
you are literally her, you know, I can't. God is so good and he's so faithful, and he really, you are her. You are literally her with the dress and all, not today, but I'm just so proud of you. I love you so much.
I love you so much. And I just, your words just every single time, because we're always going to have those moments of just unworthiness and just, are you good enough? But you know, the sin, the tempt, you know, the weird thoughts. And so I think of that girl that you said, and I act that, and I think it's a good little exercise for everyone to do. Who do you see as the best version of yourself? If a guy or a girl, you're just the most beautiful, you're poised, you're happy, you're in sunlight, you have God's spirit just flowing out of you, and just think of that and imitate that.
I love that so much, yeah. Ari. I love that truly, because you know, remember when we were saying in the renewal of the mind episode where we were like, you get to choose what person you're going to be. You get to choose what you take from the Bible and what you don't. And that's just like exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You get to choose every single day, envision the girl, not like in a weird manifestation way, but be like, envision yourself being the godliest person, mm-hmm. full of all the gifts of the Spirit, everything that God has to offer you in a person, boldness, confidence, joy, hope, peace, and love. See yourself as that and believe God's promise that you can be that.
That's right, because that's how God sees us.
Yeah.
That's what we are in God's eyes. So why wouldn't we believe that? Why wouldn't we believe that we're beautiful, that we are made whole, that we are worth it? These are all promises that God has given us, and these are all things that he has said about us. So if we love, and he loves us so much, so if we believe in God and we have faith, then we have to trust what he says, okay?
I love that so much. That's really beautiful.
Yeah.
And you have to trust that there's no temptation that has overtaken man that is not common to man. God will always provide a way of escape when it comes to sin. He really will. There is no sin that is more powerful than the Holy Spirit at work in you. Mm-hmm. And I think let's talk about that for a little bit. And I just want to be clear that sin doesn't just mean sex sex outside of marriage. It's not just sexual immorality. I know that you guys know that, but sin is down to pride, arrogance, hatred, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip, gluttony. There's many, many, many addiction, idols, putting anything above Jesus. I mean, these are all sins. Anything that goes against God is a sin. And the way to overcome sin is not to focus so much on the sin, but it's to focus on Jesus. I think about this moment when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. That's the moment that they became self-aware. So because they were self-aware, they were self-conscious. Because they were self-conscious, their focus went from God to themselves. Mm-hmm. And that is the root of all of the destruction in the world. All of the evil is because we live a life of self, being so focused on self. And instead of focusing on Jesus, where there is freedom, and putting the focus on yourself, sin ultimately is selfish. When you give in to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, that's selfish. Like, it really is. And what you focus on magnifies. So if you focus on yourself, you will be magnified. And there is no worse bondage than thinking about yourself all day long. I'll never forget that when I really started to walk in fellowship with Jesus, and I hit my knees every single day. I'll never forget. I had just moved into the Hollywood house. I was so new in the faith. I didn't have one Christian friend. Mm-hmm. I didn't have one. I was just receiving revelation from Jesus himself. I didn't know where I was getting this from, but I heard him tell me, stop praying for the things that you want and start asking me what I want you to do for me today. So it hit my knees every single day, and my prayers changed from, God, can I have this? God, can I do this? God, can you please bring me so much money and this and that and whatever? And I started saying, God, what do you want me to do for you today? Who can I talk to about you today? Who needs help? Where can I go? What can I do? My ability to breathe afterwards, mm-hmm. and actually live a life of so much freedom. You know you love serving, Ari. When you are a servant of God and you stop focusing on yourself, the fall of man is all centered around selfishness. Mm-hmm. We are so unbelievably selfish. To sin is to be selfish in a way. And so to focus on Jesus is where you find freedom in general and specifically from sin.
I that's my motto. Show me a rich man that's all about his money and his business, and I'll show you how miserable he is.
Yeah.
I see it every single day of my life.
Yeah.
I preach about it all the time. Greed, selfishness, deceit. It's one of the biggest sins, and it really does make me sick. And if we could all just, like I always say, not make it so much about ourselves. The minute that I stopped making my life about myself and knew that I was, this life is not about me. It's about God and serving and helping others. That's the day I was free. And that's when I didn't have to fight depression. Mm. And another thing is that, you know, think about this. I was watching something the other day, and I don't know why this just came to my mind. People in prison, right? Not every prison, but they'll give them animals. And then all of a sudden, these tough prison mates that were so just bad and which was so deceitful, all of a sudden they become so loving. Why? Because they have to take care of something. Mm. They have these dogs that they have to love, and they're getting love. That is the opposite from sin, and that's what we need to start doing more. Love, like love others. The Bible says, love your neighbor like you love yourself. If we started doing that, we wouldn't be focused on so much of the badness of greed and deception and gossip and doing bad things to each other. We need to love each other. So many times, I can't even tell you how many times when I'm reading that Bible, it says, love one another, be a servant, do for one another.
It's so true. Yeah. I love that so much, because the second that you take the focus off yourself, I remember, if you look back to scripture in the New Testament, the moment that Peter's walking on water and he's walking off the boat on the water to Jesus, and Jesus is telling him to come to him and to walk on the water, and he is physically capable because his eyes are fixed on Jesus. He's capable of walking on water. The second he takes his eyes off Jesus, mm-hmm. he starts to sink. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly what happens with us. So when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you won't, well, he's asleep on the pillow. To sin is to be a slave. We said it in the purity episode where sin separates you from God. Scripture says that nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and nothing can separate us, but our actions and our behavior can put what feels like separation from God.
Yeah.
And I just know that God is, like Ari was saying, that forgiveness, God is there to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive if you come and you confess your sins. However, like we also said, that does not mean that you're exempt from consequences. Repent is my favorite word. I repent every single day, probably. I love repenting. It's the best feeling in the world to bring every sin, every mistake, everything that I do to Jesus immediately, because mm-hmm. when I don't, that shame that festers, that block that happens, there is no worse feeling than when I try to hide my face from God because I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
And so I come to him with boldness every single time. But again, that does not mean that I am exempt from the consequences of sin. Every time you sin, there is a ripple effect of things that can happen. For example, if you cheat on your spouse and you come to Jesus and you repent and you put that sin under the blood of Jesus, he is faithful and he is just to forgive you, and mm-hmm. he will. That doesn't mean that you don't have to make it right with your family. You have a lot of work to do. And you'll see that now there's resentment, there's unforgiveness, there's massive hurt, there's trauma, there's distrust. There are so many consequences to sin that you may not even be aware of. And there is no telling. It's whatever the degree the sin is, you can imagine will be the degree to which the consequences you have to face. So I think it's better to remember that just because God will forgive you doesn't mean that things will be okay if you sin. It's not a get out of jail free card. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more, but you must be aware of the consequences that you will face.
Thank you for saying that. It's so true. You know, I think a big part of why a lot of people in my family want to, are like, I need a taste of this thing, is because they have seen the change in me. And that is because I do the opposite of sin. And just the patience that you cultivate, you have no idea. I watch people and how much they hold hatred and anger, and they're not forgiving, and they're gossiping, and it just, you can't, there is not a person on this planet that's doing that actually feels good. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you're laughing with your friends. You go home and you feel bad. Sin hurts.
Yeah.
Sin is death. Sin does not feel good. And what is the opposite of that? It's the fruits of the spirits. It's love, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control. And we have to practice that every single day, because apart from that and apart from God, we don't live a good life.
Amen.
There's not a chance in heaven that you're living a life of joy and peace apart from that. And so I really want you guys to just hear me when I say this. You have no idea how good it feels to look at someone across the table and see them, even if they're not treating me right, and look at them and say, man, it's okay. They're hurting inside. I mean, to not feel anger at someone, because listen, we're going to come across a lot of people every single day that are going to come at you sideways. And believe me, back then, 2010, Ariel, whoo, I'd be taking out my earrings. You don't know. But now I can look at them and just be like, man, they're suffering. They're in darkness. They're not in the light. And a lot of you guys are still in this unforgiveness and still in this hatred, and you're so mad because I don't know if a family member deceived you or if someone that you love just did you so wrong and you can't get out of that hardened heart. You can't get out of that pain, that hatred. You can't stop gossiping. You can't stop blaming. And that's going to keep you in hell and in sin. And I don't want you guys to stay there. I want you to get out of that. I want you to keep thinking about when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. I love this scripture that says in John 3:19, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear that their deeds will be exposed. I love that scripture so much because when you really give your life to Jesus, you are in the light, and there is nothing like being in the light. And sometimes people are still in the darkness. It's not that they wanted to hurt you or they wanted to deceive you or they wanted to do bad. They can't come to the light mm-hmm. because they're too trapped in the darkness. Mm-hmm. So that should give you a peace in your heart to say, you know what? I forgive them. I love them anyways. I pray for them. They're in the darkness. Thank God I'm not there. Thank God I'm so submitted to God that I'm living in the light. Even if I have some bad days, I'm still living in the light of God. Imagine being in darkness and pain that somebody can't treat you right. So I think that scripture I just love so much. I really learned a lot about the darkness and the light because I lived in the darkness for many, many years. And boy, we don't want to stay there. So that's why letting that sin go to death is one of the most important things.
You know, I love that so much because I'm going to go to, where is it? Romans chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 all talk about sin. And what you were just referring to about how people, when they sin against you, they oftentimes don't even want to do that. And they're not even the ones in control of that. In Romans 7, verse 14, it's talking about struggling with sin, and it says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it.
How many of us can relate to that, what Paul says?
Truly, that the spirit really is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so often you constantly find yourself perpetually committing the same sin over and over again. You repent and then you come back. There's a deliverance video that Stephanie EK, and I'll put it in the description. It is one of the most powerful things that I have ever listened to. And I've actually done somewhat of a self-deliverance with one of her videos, and it worked. And I went and I was struggling with something, and it wasn't a sin that was hurting anybody else, but it was something that was hurting me. And I did this. And so there are things, like we said earlier, there's strongholds, there are sins that you don't want to do. And that's why you have to press in even harder with Jesus and understand that he died for a reason. In scripture, when it says that Jesus took captivity captive, I'm sure you've heard that before. What that means is that when you hold something captive, it means that you kidnap it. It's you take it and it's in bondage. It's under your control when you take it captive. Jesus got up on a cross. He died because he took captivity captive. So the captivity, whatever is holding you captive, whatever is holding us captive, the sin that has control over us, Jesus himself took that captivity captive. Mm-hmm. So it no longer can keep you captive because Jesus paid for it on the cross. So when he died on the cross, so did we. We live with Jesus. We also died with Jesus. The flesh, our flesh, everything. When it says to pick up your cross daily and follow him, the cross is an instrument of death. Mm-hmm. It's not some cute scripture. So it means daily die to yourself. Mm-hmm. He who loses his life will find it. Mm-hmm. Every single day there must be a death, and that is the only way to overcome sin is by killing it.
And let me tell you something, that's why there's only a few of us that can actually pick up the cross and really follow him.
Because it's so hard.
It is. And the ones that can follow him are living in the best fruits of the Spirit, and they are Jesus' disciples. And so anytime that I fall into the thoughts of temptation, I think, pick up your cross and go, because you are one of Jesus' disciples and you are one of the few. Yeah. So you keep going. And I swear, when I say that in my head, out, temptation out, gone. Mm. I swear to you.
God is always just a prayer away. If you run to him in the face of temptation, like I'm telling you, you call on him. If you get any sort of desires or feelings or things that you want to fall into, or if any sort of temptation hits, I'm telling you, you cry out to Jesus. While sin is strong, while sin is powerful, while the enemy has been doing the same, he's been tempting us with the same thing our whole lives, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. And he has nothing new. The devil has nothing new. He's always done the same thing. The issue is it's working. He's doing the same thing because it's still working. And so to be aware of this is so important, and to be aware of your weaknesses is so incredibly important. You guys, look at the area in which you're sinning, where you commit the same sin, you keep sinning, and be like, what is the root of this? What is my need that this sin is trying to fulfill? And then go to God with that need. Mm-hmm. And then also be aware of your temptations, be aware of your triggers, and remove anything. Cut off your arm if it's causing you to sin. Get out your eye if it's causing you to sin. Whatever it is that is the means in which you get to the sin, remove it from your life fully. Yeah. You have victory through Jesus over everything, and that includes sin. I want to just read, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. Everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For if the sin of one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. In chapter 6, it goes, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin will lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. When he died once to break the power of sin. It goes on to say, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living.
So good. That's one of my favorites.
Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
I can't express enough how living in holiness is truly the most rewarding gifts I could have ever gotten. It is bliss. It is life. I didn't know that I could live a life like this. I really didn't. I didn't know I could live a life like this in this dark world. And you can.
Yeah.
I just wanted to read one thing. You see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of final judgment. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. Then I'm just going to go down a little bit. These people are as useless as dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They are doomed by blackest darkness. Mm. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting, with an appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. Mm. They promised freedom, and they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you.
Yeah.
And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before.
Oof.
It would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returns to its vomit. And another says, a washed pig returns to mud.
That is so crazy. Jesus, go off. Who is that, Peter?
I love
this. So insane.
And I love this, and we all need to hear it. And although it's really harsh, I want everyone to hear it because of the dark, dark world we're living in. It's really hard with the ways of the world now. And modern day feminism telling you that you can just do whatever you want and you can sleep with whoever you want and you can be naked if you want and you can just, it's not the way that we are supposed to live. It's going to lead to death and a life of no peace.
It's so true. I love what it says in there when it's like, basically, if you get delivered from sin and from a life of ungodliness and then you return, it would have been better to have never entered a life of godliness to begin with. And it's like, if just look at it like this. What does the proverb say? It's just like a dog who returns to its vomit. I mean, if I, from the things that I've been delivered for, that I've worked to get delivered for, that I've literally had to get down on my knees over and over and over again to get delivered from, if I go back to it, like I'm going back to my vomit, like that is so crazy. And we just want to encourage you guys that truly just stay close to Jesus, be rooted in the word, and you'll see the empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit. This is all sounds like a lot, and it's like, how do I just live a life of no sin? Like we said earlier, there's gonna be a wrestle with sin, but it's a wrestle that you have victory over. And I am so proud of you guys that you're even here on this journey trying. You need to understand, and it's heartbreaking, there's a world out there of people who could care less about sinning. And if you're sitting here trying to learn about sin, you should be so proud of yourself. And Jesus is so proud of you. And your efforts don't go unnoticed either. You guys are children of God, and you have victory over all these things through Jesus, through the power that was given to us through the cross.
And I don't care how harsh I sound, you do not listen to these like scripture says, to these false teachers telling you to do whatever you want.
No.
Please.
Stay rooted in the word. Get to know scripture. Dive into the scriptures.
Get godly friends. Get friends that will keep you accountable.
Yeah.
Get friends that when you can't fight the lust off by yourself, you need someone sitting with you, praying and keeping you accountable.
Yeah. I just want to... we're going to enter into a part where, if you've never watched GGB before, we always like to invite people into receiving salvation, the salvation that you get through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You guys, we read the story earlier about Adam and Eve and how after they ate the fruit and they were naked and they realized and they were ashamed and they sewed the fig tree leaves and put it on their body and they hid from God. And God comes out and he's like, "Where are you? Where are you?" I can't imagine how many times throughout our lives Jesus has asked us, "Where are you?" There's millions and billions of people in the world that God is knocking on their door asking them, "Where are you?" Whether they know it or not, whether they're aware of it or not. And whoever is watching, God has also been knocking on the door your whole life asking, "Where are you?" And in this moment, he's asking, "Where are you?" And regardless of what you're living in right now in this very moment, he wants you to come to him. And so we invite you guys to receive the free gift of salvation, eternity in heaven with Jesus, and peace and life here on earth. So if you'd like to say this prayer with us. Heavenly Father, I believe the scripture that says that Jesus Christ is your eternal Son. I believe he went to the cross and died for my sins. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I'm asking you to save me. I'm trusting you to do it right now. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I accept your gift of salvation. I accept you as my personal Savior. fill me with your Holy Spirit and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus. If you just said that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family. May Jesus bless you and love you and protect you and be with you every step of the way. And may he fill you right now with the gift of the Holy Spirit that empowers you to overcome everything and anything that is sent your way. We love you guys so much with our whole hearts. We love this journey that we're on together. We love growing with you. We truly, truly, we are just so excited to continue in this journey with you guys. And we're excited to see you on May 15th in Atlanta at the Center Stage Theater for a night of the GGB tour.
Yeah. And most importantly, Jesus loves you so much.
He really does.
And he is not ashamed of you, and he's not ashamed of your sin. He's sitting there with open arms for you, just waiting for you to run into him.
So true.
We love you so much.
We love you guys so much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace and Holy Spirit boldness. In Jesus' name, we love you guys so, so much. Seriously.
Love you.
And I love you. Love you.